This week's parasha, Parashas Vayigash, it's a Meridical parasha. There's so much here to discuss. One particular nekuda which I think can teach us a tremendous lesson for life, Limud Haskel, something which we can all take away, the tremendous Musa. The beginning of the parasha, in Perek Memhei, in the beginning, we know what happened until now. The brothers have been coming down to Mitzrayim. They were sent by their father Yitzchak in order to see if there's any food in the land. And they're coming to Mitzrayim, and there's this rule over there that's telling them to do this, telling them to do that, leave somebody in prison, what's going on? They're confused. And at one point in this week's parish, in the beginning, we find that Yosef cannot take it anymore. The torture that he's going through, the torture that he's causing on his brothers, and he decides that's it, the time has become to reveal himself to his brothers, to tell them who he is, tell them the truth, tell them who he really is, where he comes from. And the pasuk tells us as follows, the beginning of Perek Mem Hei, the pasuk says as follows, V'lo yochol Yosef this apik the chol and it sovim olav. Yosef, Hadik Yosef Atzadik, the ruler of the Kol Mitzrayim, Pasha couldn't take it anymore. He couldn't take it that his brothers didn't know who he was. He wanted to reveal himself. But Yikra, Haitziu kol ishme oloi, v'le omad ish itoi, misvadu Yosef el ochid. He was very sensitive. He made sure there was nobody in the room. He didn't want anybody to hear, to see the embarrassment of his brothers. He sent everybody out. V'yiten eskoiloi bivchi v'yishmu Mitzrayim yishma beisparoi. And he raised his voice and he started shouting, V'yomer Yosef el achiv. Yosef says to his brothers, Ani Yosef ha'oid avi chai. I'm Yosef, is my father still alive? V'lo yochlu echov la'anois oisai ki nivhalu miponov. So the pasuk, they poshut couldn't answer him. They were speechless. They didn't know what to say. They were shocked. The revelation was too much for them to bear. They were told that this man in front of them, the ruler of the whole Mitzrayim, the most powerful nation in the world. And here it was their brother after all this. How can it be? How can they explain it? What an amazing thing. What's interesting is, there's a medrash. The Medrash says as follows, it's a long Medrash, I'm only going to quote some of the words that we're going to discuss tonight. And the Medrash says, on this Pasuk, Oilonu miyoyim hadin, Oilonu miyoyim etechacha. Woe is to us on the day of judgment, woe is to us on the day that we'll have techacha, will be told off. And the question is that the Medrash is talking about this week's parish of this Pasuk. When Yosef HaTzadik reveals himself to his brothers, the Medrash says, woe is to us on the day of the Shechacha, we're being told off. And the obvious question is, where do we find that Yosef told them off? Where do we find that it was a Teichacha? Where do we find that Yosef gave them grief? Where do we find that Yosef said, hey, you brothers, what do you do to me? Where is it? It's not in the Pasuk. We don't find it anywhere. So why is the Medrash learning on this parasha, this Yisoid in the Pasuk, that when Yosef revealed himself and he said, Ani Yosef, Ha'inah Bichai, is my father alive? That's a Teichacha. Where is it? Where we don't find it? Zukum Chaim Shmulevitz Rabbeisai, tremendous Yisoid. Says Rabbi Chaim Shmulevitz, such a Yisoid Rabbeisai, that we can take with us for the rest of our lives, something we can have in our pockets, at all times. Zukum Chaim Shmulevitz, the Yisoid, is telling somebody off necessarily doesn't mean with words to tell someone he did something wrong. But Teichacha means the realization that we've done something wrong. The realization that what we've been doing until now is not correct. The realization that we've been heading in the wrong way. That, says Rabbi Chaim Shmulevitz, is the Teichacha that we're dealing over here. And if that's the pshat, then maybe we can understand what's going on in this week's parasha. Yosef comes along and says, Ah, Ani Yosef, Oy Lo Michai. What's he telling them? Ani Yosef, look who I am. The ruler of the whole Mitzrayim. Unbelievable. What power I have. I'm second to Paroi. Unbelievable. You remember those dreams? Everybody remembers those dreams. The dreams of, you know, they're bowing down to me with this, with the sheaves, with the sun, with the moon, with the gun, Samaisa. And what they call him? Oh, Yosef the dreamer. Here he is again. They decide to throw him out and kill him. So Yosef, hold on a minute. I think you're wrong. I think you made a mistake. I think you were misjudging me. Ani Yosef, here I am, ruler of Mitzrayim. And you thought I'm a dreamer? Those dreams have come through. They've really come true in a way that you have to realize that Yosef understood over here that he was telling them and shocking them with this revelation, with this realization that you guys were wrong. Ani Yosef. That's the Toichacha. The Toichacha doesn't mean he told them off, oh, you guys are crazy. No. The Toichacha is that he showed them that they were wrong. When a person realizes that they're wrong, and they've been going in the wrong direction, and they've been taking things the wrong way, misjudging, Zug of Chaim Shmalevitz, that's the Toichacha that we're dealing with over here. The Medrash is telling us a tremendous thing. We all know that the Yosef is one of the youngest ones, and the Medrash is teaching us, right? This is more posh pshat, that the brothers were saying, why were they so shocked? Why couldn't they answer? Why couldn't they say anything? What shocked them so much? What shocked them was that if the youngest of the brothers, a human being of flesh and blood, can shock us, can embarrass us in such a way, then can you imagine what's going to be in Shomayim? Reb Chaim Kaufman Zatzal from Gate said, once said a Moyudika Moshel to explain this. And he explained as follows. He said, there was a tzibur somewhere in Europe, that there was a tremendous zeiris made on them from the general army, told them to do this, not to do this. It was a terrible situation. The Yidden were put into mamish terrible matzovim. And they decided they're going to do something about it. So they stood up and they said, listen, we have to send somebody to the general army's office in the center of town. We have to have a meeting with him. We have to release the Yidden from his terrible gzeiris. There's only one way. Send someone, speak to him. Maybe we can change his mind. So they decide, they found someone. He's the spokesman. He's the best man. They told him that you're on a mission. Please save the Jewish people. Go to where he lives, the chief, the head of the army. Tell him that we're not causing harm to anybody. We possibly want the good, and help us out. So he prepares himself a whole speech, what to say. He gets on the train on the way to the center of town, and behind him walks this very, very eloquently looking man with a beautiful fur coat, a nice silver cane, a couple of people accompanying him, and he walks on the train after him. And he sees his fellow, doesn't pay attention too much, doesn't give him the covered, speaks to him in a commoner way. This fellow is thinking, who is this Jew over here talking to me in such a way? Chutzpah, his whole idea of Jewish people have gone down in his eyes. And then the train eventually finishes, he gets to the house and the appointment comes in, and lo and behold, he walks in and he sees the general chief of the army has an appointment to discuss, and next to him, his chief, his advisor, is this man over here. And how shocked and how embarrassed he is to be sitting there, to be standing there in front of him, when he realizes how he disgraced him, how he didn't give him the correct respect and the correct covered in the way he should have done, how embarrassing it was for him. Says Reb Chaim Kaufman, that's the Psha over here. The brothers did whatever they did. And again, Rabbi said, we're not judging the Shifti Kar with Gedolim Oilam, Mamish. These people were Mamish Gedolim. Chas v'Shalom, we're not judging anybody. And they passed it up, Bidin, that Yosef was Chaim Misa. But Yosef is coming along to show, you're wrong, you made a mistake. And that is the biggest Toichacha. The biggest Toichacha is, nobody likes to admit that they're wrong. Nobody likes to admit that they're going in the wrong direction, they're going in the wrong direction. Everybody wants to think, me, I'm perfect, who am I? I have to tell you, Rabbi Yisai, I deal during the day with different people. Sometimes it involves marriage situations with husband and wife. I can't tell you how often I hear the same thing. Right? I've never yet met a man that tells me it's my fault, it's my problem. Every single time. No, I'm perfect. It's her problem. Every every time, I'm telling you. It's unbelievable. Nobody likes to admit that they made a mistake. The biggest Torah over here, Yosef comes along and says, ah, and Yosef, that dreamer, that person you thought was just saying dreams, all sorts of rubbish. No, no, no. It's all come true. It's a real thing. And here I am to tell the tale, and I'm proving it to you today. That is Chelik Aleph of what I want to discuss. Yitzchak also, we know when Yitzchak, in the parasha of Yitzchak, by the brachos of Esav and Yaakov, so when Yitzchak realizes that Esav isn't the tzaddik that he really thought he was, Chazal tell us that Esav used to come in and used to tell his father, oh Tati, how do I maisa salt? You know, such a chumrah, his father thought, what a tzaddik I had, this Esav, unbelievable. But when he realized he gave his brachos to the wrong one, and he realized that Esav isn't such a tzaddik, what did the pasuk tell us? V'yechrad Yitzchak harado gedoyla ad mo'oid. Yitzchak started trembling. He was petrified. What's the pshat? Zug de medrash. Ad mo'oid means that he was more scared and trembling than when he was on the mizbeach about to give his life to Hashem when his father Avram was about to shecht him. He was more trembling at this moment when he saw and he realized that Esav, his son, wasn't the tzaddik that he really thought he was. He was trembling more then than being on the mizbeach. What's the pshat? Zok Chazal Rabbi Yisai, the Mephoshim explained pshat, Rabbi Chaim Shmulevitz says it clearly. In one moment, Yitzchak realized that his entire life, his whole hanhoga to his son Esau, was in the wrong direction. It wasn't done properly. His whole viewing of Esau was wrong. That moment of realization, of realizing you're wrong, was more powerful, was more trembling than the moment of being on a mizbeach, giving your life to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's what Yosef over here was doing to the brothers. But Rabbi say it goes deeper than that. There's a lot more to the surface. Let me tell you something else as well. This is the most famous vort in this week's parasha. But I think it teaches us a lesson that we can take with us for our lives. Look at the Lashon of the Pasuk. Yosef comes along and says, Ani Yosef! Ha'id Avichai. Is my father alive? Simple question. Very understandable. He hasn't seen his father for a while. He wants to know what's going on. I don't understand. He didn't know his father's alive. Of course he knew his father's alive. The whole parasha before this, it was busy with that the sons are telling him and making Cheshbonis Yehuda, right? Oh no, we can't leave Binyamin Yehuda, we can't leave him here. Why not? Because we have an old father. And our father is going to be so upset, and he's going to be so worried, and he's going to be in stress. We can't do that. So Yosef knows that he's alive. Yosef knows clearly he's alive. It was stated in so many psukim that there's a father. Now he comes along at this moment of time, has no shayach, has no connection. Yosef says, here I am, I'm revealing myself, I'm Yosef. Is my father alive? You know he's alive. Why are you asking this question? And even more than that, where's the answer? We don't find that the brothers actually ever gave an answer. What do you mean? They didn't say, yes, he is alive and he's waiting to see you. No, there's no answer. What's that in this question? Is he alive? You know he's alive. Why are you telling us that now? But Beisai, there's a tremendous yesod over here, the Beis Halevi. Most famously in this week's parasha of Vayigas, tells us the yesod that we have to plug in, have to put into our heads this yesod. So the Beis Halevi, Yosef wasn't asking a question. There's no question over here. There's no question mark in the Torah. Ha'oid Avichai, question mark. There's no question over here. Yosef is not asking a question. Yosef was teaching them the lesson of life. Yosef was teaching them the stira, the contradiction in their words. What's the pshat? Yosef is saying, oh, you guys are so worried about your old father that you can't leave one of your brothers here because your father's going to be worried. Your father's going to be upset. He's going to be nervous. You're leaving a son here. Did it bother you when you put me in the pit? Did it bother you what your father would say when he sold me to the Arabs? Oh no, that doesn't bother you. But now it bothers you. Now all of a sudden, oh, we can't leave our brother here because our father's going to be upset. So Yosef HaTzadik, what's the matter with you people? You contradict yourself. When it's easy for you, you'll do what you want. You won't think about somebody else. But all of a sudden, in other situations, you will. There's a contradiction. There's a steal in your life. Rabbi, how often do we hear the same thing? Rabbi, I don't have chesed. Rabbi, I can't learn. Learning's not for me. Me, learning? Not for me at all. Oh, really? What's the pshat? Why can't you learn? I can't sit more than 2 minutes. I'm ADD, ADHD, ADDC, ADDD, all the names in the world, right? Me? I can't sit and learn. Rabbi Yisai, 3 o'clock in the morning last night, we passed your bedroom, and we saw your eyes popping out of their sockets with that 700,000 page book, right? Or maybe worse, movie. I don't know. I'm sitting over there, 3 o'clock in the morning! Mamish from Mesiris Nevis. He didn't leave the bed for 4.5 hours while you're reading that book or watching that movie because, in the middle of the movie, you can't go to the toilet even, right? It's in the middle. Oh, but I can't sit for 20 minutes in Seder. I can't sit for a davening, no? 1 minute. There's a contradiction in your words. This is what Yosef is saying. Oh, you're so busy with your father's going to be upset. Were you busy with your father when you sold me? Were you busy when you sold, when you put me in the pit and you killed me? No, that didn't bother you. Oh, all of a sudden it's convenient for you. Then you'll say it bothers you. Rabbi said, this is a lesson for life. I tell you from my own experiences, right? I once went to somebody's house, right, to collect money for a certain institution, whatever it was, and you walk into this huge house over there, and the fella says to him, oh, Mamish, I'm sorry, I can't donate any money right now. He's like, you know, £2 from the pocket, whatever it is. And I've been skiing, we went to the hotel, and Mamish renting cars, and Posh, I don't have any money, the hard times are hard. Oh, but you just go and build your 14th bathroom over there, with each bathroom with this big plasma screen, that's no problem, that you have the money for, right? Of course. But to have money to give stocker, ooh, we don't have any money left. There's a contradiction, Rabbi Yisai, in your words. I can't learn. It's not for me. I can't sit down. I've got ADD. But then to watch the movie, this you have all the time in the world. To read that book for 4 hours, you do have all the time in the world. Oh, but to sit and learn, to sit with a shachwis for a half an hour, maybe I can't. I don't know. I can't do it. Rabbi Yisai took Chazal in this week's parsha. The biggest musa shmuz you'll get is from the words of Yosef. Yosef says to his brothers, here I am, Yosef. My father's alive? Because if he is, how does it make sense that it didn't bother you then, but it bothers you now? This, Rabbi Yisai, is the lesson of the parsha. This is the lesson that we have to realize. There's a Moedika Sefer called the Sefer Beis Rebbe from the Balatanya. And he brings over there when the Balatanya was in prison in Russia. So there was somebody over there that saw this Ish Kodosh, this rabbi, sitting learning Yom Valoila, davening Dveikas to the Rebbeinu Shalolam. And he went up to him and he said, Rabbi, I need to ask you a Shaila. Do you mind? He said, sure, ask whatever you want. She said, I have one question on the Pasuk in the Torah. The pasuk in the Torah is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu by Adam HaRishon says, Eicha, where are you? Torah tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Adam HaRishon, where are you? So Chazal tell us, why did he say, where are you? Because he wanted to start the conversation, whatever it is. He said, how can it be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't know what Adam HaRishon is and asks, where are you? Doesn't make any sense. So the Rebbe, the Balei Tanya said, let me ask you a question. Do you believe that the Torah was given for all of us, for all generations, for the future, for the past, for the present, for all time? He said, absolutely, of course I believe that. I'm a religious Jew, of course I believe that. He said, let me tell you something very scary. And when you hear this, everybody say, Kimposha goes down into your bones. It's the Balei Tanya. You have to realize in every generation and every single day, there's a bas kol, there's a voice, a heavenly voice that comes down from Shamayim every single day and asks the same question to you every single day. Eicha, where are you? What are you doing in this world? You were brought down for a tachlis. You were not brought down into this world to eat falafel balls or to eat donuts, to take pictures, to watch movies. That's not the reason why you're here. You may think that, but that's not the reason. You were sent down to this world as a beautiful, clean neshama to do something, to accomplish. And every single day there's a bus call that goes out and says, Eicha, where are you? Where are you doing? Where are you? What are you doing in the world? What's your tachlis? Are you fulfilling? Are you accomplishing? Are you getting somewhere? And if you don't hear this voice, you can go through your whole life with a contradiction. You can go through your whole life not realizing you're not going the right derech, not realizing you're not going the right way, never wanting to admit that you're wrong. And that, it can give the person the biggest agmas nefesh. How many people, when they got older, realized, I spent my entire life busy with other things. We know he once said a mice of a man that was busy with work. Your mama shayim of Valoila, his work was his entire life. In the morning he went to work, at night he went to work, on Sunday he went to work, on Shabbos he went to work. Work, 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 work. And at one point, I mentioned it before, he got fired because the place was being liquidated. They were just selling out the whole place. And he took his stuff and he went. And he realized that he had neglected his whole family, his children, his upbringing, his Yiddishkeit for sure. And he said it gave him a little lease on life. He started to realize what he was missing out from. Why wake up so late? Why do you want to wake up at 80 years old, lying in the bed over there, and say, oh no, I could have done better, I should have done it this way, I should have done it that way, I could have spent more time with my family, I could have learned more shas, I could have done all these sorts of things. But basically, a person has opportunities. With Avigdor Miller from America, took a group of balabatim once, and he wanted to show what regular working balabatim can accomplish. And he took them and every night gave them a shiur. And the shiur was four lines of Gemara. Finish, end of shiur. Go back and chazer it till tomorrow. And every single day they just did four lines. And he said, go over it four, five, six times till you know it cold. Four lines, what's the big deal, right? You do four lines. He said, until he finished a perek, until he finished a mesechta. Took years. But at the end of the years, there were balabatim, there were people that knew shas. Not finish shas, daf yomi with their Dunkin' Donut and the coffee in the other hand, and finish shas. We're not talking about those people, right? Oh, see them! Madison Square Garden, see them! Kavaldik, Shmama, Shiva, shas! We did it with the Dunkin' Donut, with the coffee at the same time. Murdy, we can finish it at the same time as we finish the coffee. No! These people push a new shas. Why? Because every day, they used what they had. They had a few minutes of learning, they used it properly. And after eventually it accumulated and accumulated and accumulated till they actually knew shas. The Chofetz Chaim means a mayudik emoshul. The Chofetz Chaim says there were two people sent out for business to buy merchandise. One of them was given 200 rubles, the other was given 1,000 rubles. One of them spent 800 on expenses, had 200 left. The other spent 100 on expenses and only had 100 left. So the one who had 200 left turns to the one with 100 left and says to him, what are you going to say? You only have 100 rubles left. Right? What's going to be? So the other one turns to him and says, what do you mean? I was only given 200. I have 100 left. You were given 1,000. Right? You only have 200 left. What are you going to say? Rabbi Yisrael, we said this by the Chanukah Masibah. Let's say it again. If a rich person comes over to you with $1 million cash and he says to you, hey, $1 million. Go spend it whatever you like. Wow! Buy limousines and buy a Porsche and buy $1 million. You can do so much. What do? You go to that candy store and you buy yourself one lollipop and you eat it and say, ah, machaya, a lollipop. Here you go. Take the change. I don't need the change anymore. Rabbi said we're going to come up to 120 with this briefcase of cash that the Rabbi Shalom gave within our neshama, inside our guf. He gave it all to us. And we're going to give him the change because we bought our lollipop. We bought something that tastes nice and we enjoyed. And keep the change. We're not interested in the rest. We have so much potential. We can accomplish so much. We poshut don't even realize how much we can do and what we can accomplish by sight. I want to tell you a story, a few stories, which I think bring home this nakuda in a tremendous way. You do actually, before we start that, there was a famous maisa. It's one of the Gedolim in Klal Yisrael. He promised he couldn't learn. Pasha couldn't learn. He found it so difficult. He wasn't interested in learning. He wasn't into it. It was difficult for him. It was hard. The words, this, that, and the other. And then eventually, he heard his parents one night saying, you know, I don't know what's going to be with little Shmelkel or whatever his name was. I think we're going to send him to the tailor to make a parnosa. No, he can't learn anyway, so you may as well send him to the tailor. And he had such an understanding. He realized what his life can become. What his life can become if he goes to the tailor. And he went to the Aron HaKodesh by the Beis Medrash and he poured out his heart to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And he said, Ribbono Shel Olam, I don't want to be a carpenter. I'm not interested. I want to learn your Heilige Torah. And he said the next day, all of a sudden, there was a change already. He had a cheshek. The Rebbe Yishom gave him siyata d'shmaya, until eventually he wrote svarim and svarim. And he made a siyum years later, and he said, Rabbi Yisrael, why am I making the siyum? Because when I come to Shemayim, they're going to say to me, hey, where's this sefer? Where's that sefer? I'm going to say, me? I'm a little carpenter. I'm a little tailor. What do I know about svarim? I can barely read alphabets. I can barely learn. Svarim, me? Oh, yeah. You had the potential, Rabbi Yisrael. The potential was in you. And if it was there, Rabbi Yisrael, it's going to be used. Everybody knows that when we get out there after 120 years, two movies. Great, two movies. Amazing, not only here, we can do it over there also. Two movies, right? Two movies. What are the two movies? So one is, This Is Your Life. Wonderful, right? Very embarrassing, maybe for some people, right? Everyone's going to be watching, right? Huge screen, flat screen, 400-inch screen, there's popcorn going around. Everybody's got their feet up and everybody's watching your life. Every moment of your life, from the beginning to the end, in every place that you went, in everything that you did. It's right there on that screen. And everybody is watching. That's video number one. And after video number one, your mom is just sweating away over there. Your mom is like, get me out of here. You know, just send me anywhere. I don't want to be over there. Just get me out of here. The embarrassment. Mom is crazy. They said, no. Hold on a minute. There's an extra showing. Video number two. Click. What's video number two? This is what your life should have been. This is what we sent you down in this world to accomplish. Ashrei me. Fortunate is he who has the same video. One and two. Rabbi say it's there. The potential is there. But to understand, to make the realization that sometimes we're wrong. Sometimes we're not going in the right direction. That's the Musa from Yosef. Yosef is teaching the Toichacha. What's the Toichacha? You're not right. You thought I'm a dreamer. Who do you think I can do? Here I am, the ruler of Mitzrayim. Now you see who's right. There was a boy called Yechezkel. He was 5 years old, Nebuch, when his mother was Nifta. And the years after were a difficult time. He was an orphan boy, just about his father. And he had the basics for his family, whatever he needed. When he became Bar Mitzvah, his father decided that this young man, very nice boy, had a lot of potential. He had to help support the family. Staying in the yeshiva was not really an option. So Yechezkel came along, got a job as a flower delivery man. Flower delivery man. What a very glorious job in the 1900s. That's all there was. Not bad. Decent job for a young man. So it was a simple routine. He delivered flowers, accepted payments, and returned it to the store. That was the routine until one day. And at that one day, an incident changed Yechezkel's life forever. It was a Friday, and there were many orders to deliver. Yechezkel had his mama, she had promised loads, a bunch of flowers. And after he delivered all the flowers, the hour was late. The store was probably closed. There's no point walking around with the cash. He decided to go home. But on the way, instead of going home directly, he stopped at the mikveh. When he came out after the mikveh to get dressed, he realized to his horror that the money that he had from all his collection of the flowers was missing. He looked everywhere, but it wasn't there anymore. It was been stolen. And he realized that all his effort in one moment was gone. That Shabbos, Yechezkel thought about it tremendously. And he realized that if a person can do so much and put so much effort into something and lose it in one moment, then maybe those efforts are not worth anything anyway, because they'll just be lost in a moment. And he decided, that's it. To spend my life on doing something that can be lost in one moment is a waste of time. And at that moment he decided, that's it. There's only one thing that's worth he can do that no one can ever take away, and that is Torah. And he decided, that's it. He went to yeshiva, Yom V'Loila, and he became the leader of Klal Yisrael, of Yechezkel Levenstein, Ramesh the Mashkiach, one of the biggest yeshivas in the world, one of the biggest gedolim that we had in previous years, because he made that decision. He made the decision. There's no point going on in this world, in this life, in a way that just seems easy, that can be lost. Do something that's worthwhile. That's story number one. Story number two. There was in the yeshiva in Lakewood, they decided they're going to send boys out in order to a little bit of kiruv. So they decided to send boys to a certain place. They advertised that people can come and have chavrusas and learn with some of the boys from the yeshiva. So a whole group of interesting people, not really religious, because they didn't know religious Jews were actually going to be in charge of this whole idea. But alright, bunch of yeshiva bochum, they decided they're going to get the best of it. There was a guy over there called Mike. this guy called Mike was very interested in learning. There was a religious pull in his 45 year, you know, years. He realized, you know, maybe there's something religious or something about life or something about religion. So he decided that's it. He's going to go and go to this Chavrusa program. He sees this religious yeshiva brochim. He says, all right, you know, give it a try. Why not? Give it a shot. Nothing bad can happen. He sits down with his Chavrusa. Seems like a nice guy, very warm. And they sit and learn. They get a kesha. And every Tuesday he comes back and he says to him eventually, you know, this is the highlight of my week, that we come back and we learn. And he starts reading with him. He can barely read. Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet. They teach him how to read. And after a few weeks, he says, you know what? I think it's going to be time to buy my Chavrusa Mike a nice art scroll sitter. He comes in and with his art scroll sitter, a nice package ready to give it to him. Mike hasn't shown up. What's happened? So they called up the agency, the people that were arranging it. Said, where's this guy Mike? I heard him with him every Tuesday. He was mamish the highlight of his week. I don't understand. Why didn't he show up? So I'll tell you what happened. Is he got cancer. He had cancer many years ago. And he pushed it off. Baruch Hashem, the treatment that he did then worked. But unfortunately now it's come back with an vengeance. His mamish spread over his whole body. The doctors are doing many, many tests. But we hope that Be'ez Hashem will be alright. So fine, so he keeps the article sort of waiting till the next week. Right, all the group have heard about what's going on with this Mike. Mamash Nebuch, he has cancer. Nebuch, what's going on? And he walks in, you can see he's a bit weaker from all the testing and all the treatments. And he walks in, he sits there, his Chavrusa, and he starts telling him, you should realize how much you've changed my life and how much of an outlook I have for different things about religion and Judaism. And he gives him the article, sit, and he said, oh wow, now I'll be able to daven something. And he discussed Hilchas Tefillin and how every day he's going to decide he's going to put on Tefillin. And he's watching a mamish, a fresh bull tshuva transform in front of his eyes. It's mind-boggling. And week after week, sometimes he's there, sometimes he's not there. And as the weeks go by, you can see him weaker and weaker until one day he doesn't show up. The next day, the Chavrusa, this boy from Yeshiva, gets a phone call from his daughter, and his daughter says, I have to tell you the terrible news that unfortunately he left this world. But you should know, he left this world in a tremendous way. The impact that he had with his life was unbelievable. She said, she wasn't religious, but she said, you should know, he put on his tefillin every single day. And she wanted to tell him one last thing. When he died, there were three things that he had on his nightstand. The book of art of Jewish prayer that someone else had given him, the art scroll siddur, and the tehillim that they gave him as well. These were things that he realized at the end of his life, these were the only things that matter. His whole life he'd gone a different mahalik, but now he realized this is the mahalik, this is the way. I want to tell you one last story, Rabbi said, before we end, it's a mayudika story. There was a yid who hasn't been feeling very, very well, chest pains. They did some tests, and they realized they needed a bypass, a heart transplant, ASAP, ala makom, on the spot, right now. Otherwise, they said to him, I don't know if in another week's time you'd be walking with your own two legs. So he had the operation, and while the operation was going on for very many hours, his children from different places in America flew in for the serious operation. They started saying to him, after the operation was finished, they went in to see him. They hoped it wasn't going to be the last time. The doctors told them, unfortunately, we weren't so successful. Something went wrong in the middle of the operation. We're not sure how long he has left. And the father opens his eyes after many hours after the operation, and he calls over his children. He has three children. Two of them are from, one unfortunately went off the derech. So he calls over his children. He tells each child his job, his mahalach, his tachlis, what he can do. This one to run the yeshiva, this one to run the shul. He was a very chosh of a man, this one. And then it's finally the time came that he called over his third son, who unfortunately was no longer religious, but he was still a son. This was his father. And the son was crying, and he said, Tati, Tati, Tali, tell me, what can I do? Just tell me anything, just tell me. So the father said to him, I want to tell you, but what I'm going to tell you, you have to promise me that you're going to do. You have to promise me that you're going to listen. He said, Father, of course I'll do it, just tell me anything, please. And he realized his heart was going down, the breathing was going heavy and heavy. He realized time was up in a few moments. The father says to him, I want to tell you something, but please, you have to promise me. He said, I promise. He said, promise me that when I leave this world and when I die, that you will not say Kaddish for me until you mend your ways, until you become Chayze B'tshuva, until you keep Shabbos, until you put on tefillin, tzitzis, and everything else. And the son was crying, tears were streaming down at this terrible time. This is what he had to hear. But he said, all right, Father, I promise you. A few moments later, there was silence, the machine went dead, and his father passed away. The Chevra Kadisha were called. The Levaya was scheduled for tomorrow morning. All the sons went off without speaking. And particularly this boy in particular was heartbroken. He just lost his father, but he'd just been told a terrible thing. He can't say Kaddish. The Levaya came, the speeches that spayed him were very, very, very good. Everyone was speaking about this Chashuv a man that was Nifta. And suddenly at the end came the time for Kaddish. When ten time for Kaddish, everybody looked at the three sons, they're going to say Kaddish. Only two of them got up, and they started saying Yiskadal, V'Yiskadash, Shemei. And you can imagine the third son was piercing his heart, he probably broke down in tears. How can it be? How can it be? He was thinking to his father, why don't you do this to me? Kaddish is what comforts a person. It makes a person feel he's doing something for the Nifter, and I can't do anything. He probably felt broken. How can his father do this to him? Eventually he was angry. How can it be? And then the whole shiva, every single davening, shachris, minchan, maariv, yiskadal, and he had to sit there, a promise is a promise, I promise my father, I have to listen to him. And it killed him inside, it poshet, broke his heart into many pieces. Until eventually he went back to work after the shiva, and he decided life is going to go back to normal, but he realized it couldn't. And every single day, Pasha was eating away at him every day, and he couldn't say kaddish for his father, he couldn't do anything for his father, Pasha eating away. Till one day he turns to his wife, he says, I'm sorry, that's it, we have to change our life. We're not going to live this way anymore, I can't do it. I can't not say kaddish for my father, it can't be. And he says, I'm changing my life. And he instantly became a Baal Teshuva, changed over his whole life. His wives, his children, they all became Baal Teshuva. At the yahrzeit of the first year for their father, everybody came together for the Siyum HaShas, Hashim HaMishnayis. And when the kaddish came in the end, it was such a beautiful sight. Three children got up and they said kaddish, Yiskadal, Yiskadash, unbelievable. Even the third son. And the mother looked over and said, ah, look at their father, who had obviously such a hindsight to realize what he can do. Rabbi, how many of us are living a life that, you know, bidi evid, it works, we're managing, it's exciting, it's a lollipop, it's hanah, it's nice. But to admit for a moment, to make a cheshbon and say, hold on a minute, maybe I'm not 100% right. Maybe there's another way. This contradiction that sometimes it's easy for us, sometimes it's difficult. Of course it's difficult. In Achanami, getting up in the morning, putting on tefillin. Could be it's difficult, it's cold outside. In Achanami, sitting down learning Seder. In Achanami, maybe it's difficult. But you have to work on it. You have to try. You give time to everything else. You have people that Pasha can memorize. Every baseball team for the World Series, whatever it is, when it comes to Pisa Gemara, Tosfos, blank. Mamish George Blockhead, they remember nothing. But they can remember every single song and every single movie and everything. What's the pshat? There's so much contradiction. Basically, we have to work on this. We have to work on this mahalak to realize our lives are worth more than putting in the effort for something that can be lost in a moment. And Be'ez HaShem, we should get the Musa of the parasha. Yosef HaTzadik came along to tell us, Ani Yosef Oid Ovi Chai. I'm Yosef, look at me. I'm not a dreamer. It's true. A person can accomplish potential. There's so much that we can do, but realize it. Don't live your life in a contradiction. Live the life to the best potential that the Rebbeinu Shalom gave you in Be'ez HaShem. The Rebbeinu Shalom will give us all tremendous Siyata Deshmaya, tremendous Simcha, tremendous Hanah. We'll be able to build lives Be'ez HaShem and families of Bnei Torah. We'll have Siyata Deshmaya in our lives and we'll give Nachas Ruach to the Rebbeinu Shalom. Have a good Shabbos. Shkoyach.